Welcome to the Dildorks, dorky discourse on sex, dating, and masturbating. My name is Kate Sloan. I'm a sex blogger, a sex journalist, and I have a folder on my phone that's just sex and also great photos that people have sent me that one might want to jerk off to, including a lot of pictures of people's hands, because that's just where I'm at sexually. Who are you, friend?
I'm Bex. I'm a sex edger. I don't know what I am. I'm a sex educator. And a sex
blogger.
What is
a sex edger? Oh my god, this is my new kink.
I mean, I also edge a whole lot.
Yeah.
And my voice is gonna sound like garbage because my throat is on fire because I made out with far too many people this weekend.
Yikes. Yeah, I'm sick too, and so it's gonna be a show about sexting as well as sexting. I made that joke earlier and it didn't even land that well when I did it before.
Yeah, it wasn't great the first time, but here we are.
That's what we do here, folks. We make bad jokes that only I think are funny.
We make bad jokes that only you think are funny.
Occasionally, yeah.
That's fair.
That is fair. We're going back to our early days topics, the past few episodes, and the one that we're talking about today is sexting, which I know is an important thing for both of us for some of the same reasons and some different reasons. What do you love about sexting, Bex?
So many things. Mm-hmm. I can sext with people who are anywhere, which is great, because I have a lot of people who I'm into who are all over the country, and was in a long-distance relationship for a while.
Yep.
I also really enjoy it because it's a really fun, low-investment way to experiment with new stuff, whether it's kinks I haven't tried or kinks I can't try, whether it's, like, I don't have access to someone who has the skills, or it's just not physically possible, or it would be ethically murky, but, like, pretending to do it is totally fine. And sexting, there are no limits on really what you can do as long as you and the other people involved are down, because, like, physics aren't even a limit because none of it's real. So I have experimented with a lot of new kinks through sexting and then been like, oh hey, so like next time maybe I'll actually try this thing like in reality.
Yeah, I agree with everything you just said. As a person who is a writer but like also super anxious and also like even has like physical limitations, I often find I can do things better in writing than I can in, like, any other medium, at least at first. So, like, even if I, like, practice a thing in sexting a few times, which, like, arguably doesn't even count as really practicing the thing, but it is in a way, it's sort of like what they say about how, like, athletes who visualize winning the game or, like, doing well at the race are likelier to do better because you've, like, mentally practiced it. So, like, even if I've never done this kink in person before, I feel better about doing it if I've tried it via text a few times. Because, like, I've established what I would like to do and what we both find hot about it. And I've, like, established trust with the person I'm sexting with. And it's amazing for that.
And it's also a really great way to, like, communicate your preferences around the ways people can, like, act out these kinks or just the ways they can touch you. Because good sexting describes touch in detail. And you're going to write about the kind of touch that feels good to you. And you're going to hear about the kind of touch that feels good to your partner or partners. And you can integrate that into in-person sex you're having.
Yep. I've come up against this a lot with stuff like, I like to be fucked really deep. And that's something that often people don't know because they're often used to targeting, like, the G-spot, which is shallower. So if I mention that a few times and someone's paying attention, then they'll know that for the first time that we actually hook up. I also just read this essay recently by Clementine Morrigan, who's an incredible writer, and they wrote this thing about how sexting is an access need for them because they have PTSD due to, I think, sexual traumas, and they wrote about how, like, due to their PTSD, they often have a hard time, like, verbally articulating what they want and what they don't want in the actual moment of having sex, and so doing that in advance via sexting gives them sort of the time and space and freedom to do that in a way that's not gonna, like, trigger them or cause them to hold back what they actually need to say. So they were talking about how they prefer to do it before they hook up with someone, ideally, because it helps them feel like they can approach that safely and in a healthy way for them. Which actually brings me to another point I wanted to talk to you about, which is, like, I have a policy of, like, I don't like to sext with people before I have sex with them. which I have some reasons for that, but, like, what's your take on that?
Yeah, as you said that, I, like, wanted to jump in with, like, either agree or disagree with that, and I don't actually have an answer.
Maybe it's just circumstantial.
Yeah, I think in most cases, I won't sext with someone until I've had sex with them. Mm-hmm. But at the very least, like, met them in person and made out a bunch or something.
Yes.
Like, yeah. I sexted with my ex way before we ever had sex, but there were extenuating circumstances there. And I think in most other cases, I have waited until I at least did something with the person before sexting them. I can't think of any other instances where sexting was the first thing we did.
Yeah, it's interesting, because I feel like it's really common, just judging from what I hear about my friends' social lives, to sext before you actually hook up with someone, like, especially if you're, like, talking to them on Tinder or something. But what I've always found is, like, it seems to establish an expectation that you're definitely going to fuck the person, which is, you know, not my fault if someone else assumes that, but also doesn't feel great for me. And it also kind of, like, jumps the gun on, like, building intimacy, which for me is, like, a really important part of the process of, like, getting to know someone. And, like, not to fall back on sexist tropes too much, but, like, I have found that a lot of dudes seem to, like, lose interest in me if we sext or get sexual too early. It's certainly not a rule, but I have noticed it. And, like, as someone who's looking for, like, more so romantic relationships, like, I tend to want to wait on that. It just kind of, like, makes me uncomfortable to get sexual with someone too quickly, and that's totally a personal preference thing.
Yeah, I'm also, like, I'm a slut, but I'm relatively picky.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I never really know if I'm into someone until I'm in the same physical space as them.
Yes, exactly.
I'm really bad at, like, judging stuff. Like, I don't have many internet crushes. I develop internet crushes at conferences, and then I mm-hmm. come home with them and have to deal with all of it.
Yeah. Relatable. Yeah, I, with my current partner, we went on a date, we made out. He punched me a bunch, consensually, and, but we couldn't hook up just because of, like, the circumstances of where we were and our schedules for the day and everything. So then we're long distance, so I went back to Toronto, and we couldn't see each other again for another month, so we spent that month, like, sexting and having phone sex, as well as, like, getting to know each other in more kind of non-sexual ways. And, like, that was a case where I definitely was comfortable with it, because, like, I had already met this person, I already knew I wanted to fuck him, like, that wasn't an issue. I knew the attraction was there, and, like, the potential compatibility, and the chemistry, and whatever, like, magical, like, pheromonal qualities have to be there for all of that stuff to feel good. So I was down to sext. Let's talk about consent and sexting. Ooh. I think this is something a lot of people either do badly or, like, just don't know how to do. So, like, say you want to sext with someone, but it's kind of, like, out of the blue, and you're not sure if they're going to be receptive to it. How do you go about doing that?
Is this a person I've sexted with before, or am I just like, hey, yo, want to talk about my dick?
Like, what's the context here? I mean, I'm interested in hearing, I want to hear both answers, because I think they're different and both interesting.
I mean, if it's someone I've sexted with before, or, like, semi-regularly, I'll just, mm-hmm. like, ask for the context of, like, what they're doing, and, like, honestly, it's not that different between the two. Mm-hmm. I'm usually just a little more explicit about the one because I'm less shy. So, like, if we've sexted yeah. before, I'll probably, like, ask a little more directly. But in general, I do a lot of, like, hey, I just took this picture. Do you want to see it? Or, like, mm-hmm. You know, I had a dream about you and I want to tell you about it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and kind of use that to initiate where I'm, like, something that is clearly, like, I want this to go in a sexy direction. How do you feel about that?
Yeah. Yeah, we've talked about the kind of consent-ask approach that is sort of like that kissing technique recommended in the movie Hitch, where he's like, I go 90% of the way, and then she comes the other 10% of the way.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, in person, I might say something like, I really want to kiss you right now. But in sexting, you can say something like, oh, I had a really sexy thought about you earlier. And then, like, maybe they're going to be like, oh, tell me more. Or maybe they're going to be like, oh, cool. Like, maybe they're, like, in a business meeting or, like, don't want to sex with you for whatever reason. So that kind of, like, leaves the ball in their court to decide, like, how far they want to go yeah. with it. You know, it's one of those things that I can't even, like, really pick apart how I usually initiate sexting, because it feels so organic and just, like, a natural flow when you know someone well and can kind of read their signals in that way. Like, I don't know that I can identify what specifically I say to initiate sexting. I always feel like I just kind of fall into it.
You just, like, trip and fall and all of a sudden you're sexting.
Yeah, whoops.
I do, like, there is, like, a level of flirting that gets to a point where you can be like, oh, you know, tell me more about that. Mm-hmm. Or, like, yeah, my experience is somewhat similar.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm negotiating something in that way, it's a lot of teeny tiny baby steps.
Yeah.
And if they don't escalate on the next step, then I back off.
Yes. Yeah, and that's like, good advice for flirting and for sex in person. Like, that's just good advice for reading someone.
Yeah. Like, I don't make big jumps. Like, I won't kiss someone without asking them, or I won't, like, touch them without asking them.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way that I won't, like, send someone a dick pic without asking them.
Right.
Or whatever. But I might, like, I might, like, say something flirty, and if they respond at the same level or slightly more invested, then we can kind of banter back and forth and keep going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you've already had sex with the person, a really easy in is to be like, I was just thinking about the time that you XYZ passed sex memory together, and often that can spin off into a new sexting session. I just said spin off, and now I'm thinking about sitcom spinoffs, and now I'm thinking about sexting with Frasier, and it's a whole thing. I'm distracted today.
I also, like, if I'm saying a semi-sexy thing out of the blue, I like to say it in the least sexy way possible, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Got an example you can break off for me?
So, like, I don't know, instead of saying something like, you know, oh, my ass was really sore, I said, you know, I felt those bruises you left all day.
Mm.
Like,
really vague so that they can inquire further if they want to. I like
exactly.
That.
Yeah.
I'm curious about, like, structurally how you conceptualize sexting, because I know we've had conversations about kind of our differences in that regard, because, like, in your long-distance relationship that you were in, a sexting sesh was, like, a sex sesh. Like, it was, like, dedicated time and, like, an actual contained sexual encounter. Whereas, like, I feel like when I sex, I'm often, like, out and about, or I just kind of, like, do it for a few minutes and then go do something else. Like, I just, like, I don't feel, like, drawn into it in the same way. I don't know why, but, yeah.
Well, there is difference there. Like, yeah. There were times where it was just, like, throughout the day, and we would be sending sexy things back and forth and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a difference in the times when you're just, like, sitting down and, like, that is the thing you are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's just, like, you're alone in your room watching TV and sexting or something, like, there is a more, I guess more of, like, an intense sexual energy.
Mm-hmm.
When it is, like, this is what we are both just doing right now, is having this conversation.
Yeah.
And I would say it's similar to, like, how you have phone sex, or how it was when I had Skype sex and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think that probably, the like, a large part of the reason I don't get as engaged in it is, like, my partner and I do have a lot of phone sex, so, like, if we're starting to get into really intense sexting, there's a part of me that's like, I wish we were on the phone for this, because, like, that's just kind of how I'm more used to and more comfortable engaging with him sexually, but
words can be really good. Meanwhile, my ex and I are like, phones are the worst.
Yeah, totally fair, and I think that it's amazing that, like, all these different technologies have allowed for different types of digital sexual encounters that appeal to, like, lots of different tastes and, like, even, like, ability levels, because, like, I know some people are really uncomfortable with phone calls for reasons of, like, neurodivergence, and, like, that's totally valid, and sexting can be a great option for some of those folks.
Yeah.
I find, like, often the role of sexting for me is I'll, like, screenshot stuff and then go back and look at it later when I'm jerking off by myself. And that is really useful. Like, I don't think of it as any less valid or important just because I'm not jerking off when it actually happens a lot of the time. Because, like, I'm a very verbally minded person. Visuals don't do a ton for me sexually. I'm really more about like words and also sounds. So to have those words to refer to and kind of like replay in my mind when I'm jerking off is really, really nice for me. That's why I have a folder of them on my phone. Some people have porn, I have screenshots.
I've never jerked off to sex before. The times when I like jerk off while sexting is more of an exhibitionist thing than anything else for me.
Okay.
Like tell it's me more. Super hot, but like generally I'm jerking off so I can send pictures of me jerking off.
Okay. So pictures are a big part of your sexting repertoire.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell me about how are like pictures you would take during a sexting sesh maybe different from just like regular sexy selfies you might take at another time?
If I'm fucking around with sexy selfies, I like will set up my tripod and like play.
Okay.
Meanwhile, if I'm sexting, it's like I've got my hands down my pants. I'm not going anywhere. Like, so they're much more. They're less polished and more personal.
Mm-hmm, which I think is like a large part of what is so hot about that type of photo. Is that sense of intensity and spontaneity.
Yeah, and they're actually, like, they look like a selfie, you know what I mean? In the way that it might not if I, like, set up a tripod and took a picture with a remote shutter or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as a submissive person, like, something I really enjoy is when I sort of flirtily mention to a dom, like, my tits look great right now, or like I still have this bruise you gave me or whatever, and then they demand a photo, which like of course like don't do that with someone who you haven't like negotiated like an existing dynamic with, but like it can be really hot and it makes me feel really useful when I can give them the type of photo that they're seeking.
Yeah.
Got any tips for good photo taking during sexting? Your face. Precious surprised me.
That's not where I thought that was going, and I had an answer for where I thought it was going,
what
and now
you,
I'm like,
what
fuck.
Did you think I was gonna ask?
I thought you were gonna ask tips for just, like, what to say in sexting.
Because oh, we'll get to that.
People ask about that shit all the time.
Yeah.
And I have a good answer, but now we're talking about pictures.
Yeah, well, let's talk about pictures while we're here, and then we'll move on.
All right, fine. So, one of my biggest struggles was feeling like I was sending the same pictures over and over, because there are only so many pictures of my body that I can take, like...
Right, and I remember telling you that, like, well, your partner finds you hot, so, like, I really don't think they're gonna get tired of seeing your body, but, like, I also understand where that worry comes from.
Yeah, so one of the things I found really fun to play with was different angles, which you hear in every photography class ever, know your angles, But
the rule of thirds.
But like considering the perspectives that they would be looking at you from, if y'all were having sex, and taking pictures from those angles, which may be less intuitive angles when you're just like modeling for things, you know what I mean?
Right. And they also might be less flattering than you're typically used to for your like regular Instagram selfies or whatever. Like I often take selfies taken from like below my tits or like down where someone would be if they were going down on me if I'm sexting, and like I would never really do that for Instagram, firstly because it's like too sexual, but also because like I just don't feel like I look good from that angle. But like if someone has fucked me before, clearly they think I look good from that angle, so
yeah exactly. Also think about, like, hand placement and props and things. Like, putting your hand in a place to be like, I was just touching myself here, or just about to touch myself here, or, like, covering certain places with, like, the corner of a blanket, or having your sex toys just casually laying next to you on the bed. Like, whoops, how did those get there? And things like that can also make your pictures like more unique and just make them more fun to take, because that like I got bored taking the same picture. Like I had to take a nude every day, and like there were mornings where I was like, how many pictures of my ass can I take? Like what can I do to make this more interesting for me and him?
You had sexter's block.
Yeah, like I mean my ass is great and every picture of my ass is great, and I loved like the puzzle of figuring out with something new every morning, you know,
solving the ass puzzle. The best. How would you recommend someone go about asking for photos in a sexting context? Because like that to me always feels really vulnerable, and like there are times where I very much want one, but I feel sort of like, maybe it's because I'm submissive, but like I feel somehow out of line asking for it. Was there a good and smooth way to do that?
I tend to go for, fuck, I wish I could see you right now, you're so hot, or I wish I was there so I could, whatever.
That's very good, yeah.
Yeah. And then so that smart. Gives them the opportunity to be like, well, here you go, we have technology. Or to be like, yeah, I wish you were here too.
Yeah, because if they're like out, you know, having coffee somewhere or something, they have to be able to sort of modulate their response. So I really like things like that, where like you're leaving it in their court, as we said.
It's again like the 90-10 thing.
It's so good. It's just really useful in a broad range of scenarios.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to know what you don't like about sexting. Like, if there are any, like, limitations of it or anything that you feel like you're not good at when it comes to sexting.
No.
I expected that answer.
It's my favoriteest thing, to be honest. Or one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think about what I don't like about it. I don't know. Do you have anything?
Yeah, I mean, like, what I've noticed in having a lot more phone sex is that when I go back to sexting, I really do miss the kind of expressive nature of being able to hear someone's voice. And there are times and reasons why you might not always want that, like, for example, if you're in public. But I definitely do find emojis actually help a lot with that, because that can kind of, like, especially if you've heard the person talk a lot, like, you can kind of extrapolate what they might sound like if they're using expressive, like, punctuation and emojis.
Yeah, I also don't love that, like, nervousness that comes... What I don't love is sexting someone new-ish and not knowing the words they use for their body.
Mm, yeah.
And, like, realizing in the middle of sexting them that I don't know.
Yeah, and, like, there are ways in DS dynamics to kind of deal with that, because, like, if you're kind of being dominant with someone, you can just ask them for that information, but it can be harder in, like, non-DS contexts to kind of, like, ascertain that info. Like, it's good if you can to, like, wait for them to describe their stuff. You can be like, tell me what you want me to do to you or whatever, and then just pay attention to the language they use, but yeah, that can be hard sometimes.
Yeah, I tend to wait for them to use language first, but even then, like, I'll be like, great, I have one word. Do they like other words? Or, like, can I stick this in a thesaurus and just, like, play from here? Or is this just the one word I'm going to use over and over and over? Because, like, I guess that's fine, but...
Yeah, and, like, the thing with sexting, too, is, like, it's hard to... If you do go out on a limb and try a new word that you haven't used with this person, it is harder to read their response. Like,
yeah.
In phone sex, you can instantly hear, usually, whether something you've said has turned someone on or not. And it can be harder to read that in sexting.
Yeah.
Which is why, it's good often to, like, have these conversations outside of sexual context. So, like, when you're not sexting, like, you can even do a debrief the day after a sexting session if you're at a place where you're comfortable with that with this person. And be like, what did you like about it? What did you not like about it? Were those words okay?
Yeah, I was going to say, you can just fucking ask.
Yeah. Like, I mean, we are adults and
you that is a 1,000% an option.
Yeah.
And sometimes I don't want to, like, sometimes I wish that it was a little bit easier.
Yeah. It makes me want to make, like, a Google form. Like, we've talked to people who, like, use Google Forms with new partners or whatever to just, like, ascertain certain information that they need, and that would be so good. Just, like, what language do you use for your bits? And, like, what verbs and adjectives do you like?
Just send them a yes-no maybe list.
Yeah, true. That's really good. Your yes-no maybe list does have stuff about language, so I will link that in the show notes because that is a fantastic resource. Even if all you're doing with someone is sexting, it's still really good to know all that stuff.
Yeah, another thing that I think is really fun to add to yes-no maybe lists, like, complete side note, but is, like, pieces of media, which I've started doing.
Mm.
Like, that sex scene I saw in this movie that one time, or that porn gif I saw on Tumblr, or, like, this piece of erotica, or whatever. Being able to take, like, this little snippet is very much a yes for me.
Yes.
And then being able to, like, pick apart why that was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if they have specific kinks that you know about, A lot of kink subcultures have sort of like language that is commonly used within those spaces. I'm thinking right now about hypnosis, which my partner is very into, and there's a lot of usage in those circles of words like obedient or blank or spacey, like, you know, words that conjure up the state of like tranciness. So maybe there's some words related specifically to kinks they have that might be useful to try.
Yeah.
Someone on Twitter asked, I always find myself resorting to the same few phrases or word choices. Any tips on keeping it fresh?
Read erotica.
Yeah.
You'll learn all the words you love and all the words you hate. Like, so many words you hate.
I was reading a thought catalog piece today where someone had, like, compiled all these things men have said about what it feels like to come inside someone. And one person had used the phrase turgid rod to describe his penis. And I was like, I'm not into that.
I've heard that one. I'm not a fan.
I had a visceral response to it. And it was weird because, like, the rest of the sentence was great. It was just that one part. I was like, what are you doing? Are you Danielle Steele over here? Like, I don't know what this is. I think, like, exploring new kinks in general together is a good way to keep it fresh. Like, my partner and I were trying to decide on some questions for a regular check-in we want to do, which is inspired by our friend Taryn over at aceinthehole.co, who does a weekly check-in with her partner. So we were trying to figure out, like, what check-in questions would be good for us to ask each other regularly, and one that we're thinking about is, like, what are some new fantasies that you're having lately? Or, like, any new sexual thoughts come up for you? Because, like, often those, like, very nascent, brand new thoughts can lead you into new kinks that you might find interesting to explore in sexting or, like, beyond.
Yeah, I don't know how important keeping it fresh all the time is. Like, there are words that you could say a million times to me, and they will still be hot.
Yes.
Like, you can call me a slut, you can call me a faggot, like, as many times as you want. You can say the word fuck as many times as you want. Yeah. I will be into it every single time.
Yeah, I'm the same way, and I think Tina Horn talks about that in her book Sexting, which is a fantastic book I would highly recommend. She talks about, I think the one that she mentions for herself is the word slut. It's just like, she can hear that all day long, and it's great. And I talked to my partner about this for a series. I interviewed him recently about phone sex, and I was like, so I have some phrases that, like, pretty much always work for me, and you know this because you've made me come many, many dozens and dozens of times. And, like, how do you keep them sounding new? Or, like, do you ever worry about seeming repetitive? And he basically was like, I try to get to a place where every time I say it, it feels like that's really what I want to say in that moment, and that's what I need to say, and that's what I need to communicate to you. And, like, that level of urgency makes me, like, not really care about, like, repeating the same words over and over again. So I think the advice there is, like, don't just say it because you know it works. Like, you should say it because that's authentically what you want to say in that moment.
Yeah, you don't want it to be formulaic.
Yeah, there's no vagina passwords, you know? What do you wish more people understood about sexting?
I wish more people knew that they should be sexting me. But, okay. Like, people I've fucked, not, like, you, listener. Right. But, like, yeah. You. Definitely you.
Essentially.
Yeah.
It's crucial.
Like, specific listeners.
Yes. You know who you are.
You know who you are. I wish more people knew they didn't have to sound like the descriptions of the videos on Pornhub. Mm-hmm. Or a Danielle Steele novel.
Yes. Yeah, like, you can joke around and be silly and not be a serious erotica generator, and it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think there's just, like, you were talking about with authenticity. I think there's a lot of people who sext with what they think they need to say.
Mm. Yeah.
And it just doesn't feel like I'm talking to the same person.
Yeah, I think that some of that is, like, some people, sexting just isn't their medium.
Yeah.
And I think it's actually okay to admit that and to, like, own that. It might be a problem if you're, like, dating someone or fucking someone who is really into it and who gains a lot from it. But, like, you don't have to be into every type of sex, and sexting is a type of sex, you know?
Yeah.
I also wish more people knew that just because you say you want to do something in sexting, it doesn't mean that you have to do it or even want to do it in real life. I think that this is misunderstood a lot, and I definitely use sexting as a way to, like, pre-negotiate things that I might want to do, but then I also definitely also use it to do things that I wouldn't want to do in real life or wouldn't want to do with this person or only want to do at very specific times or whatever. So, as with anything, you can't just assume that consent transcends to other mediums. Like, you gotta check in about that, because it might have been really hot in the sex, but, like, maybe they have no interest in doing it in person, and, like, that's perfectly fine.
And, like, building on that, just because you enjoy sexting about something doesn't mean you'll enjoy it if you try it.
Mm.
And that doesn't, like, you didn't fuck it up if you don't enjoy it. Like, you can still just enjoy it in theory and as a fantasy, and in practice it can just be, like, not your jam.
Yes, totally. I was thinking about this today because, like, I was sexting about coming during PIV, which is a thing that's, like, really difficult for me, pretty uncommon, except with certain partners, and usually just sort of, like, stresses me out more so than it is enjoyable. Like, it's very good when it does happen, but I just feel like just getting there is, like, a task and a half for me. And so, like, it's something that I sext about a lot and that I talk about in phone sex a lot. But in person, like, with my current partner who I've been dating for 9 months, it hasn't happened, and, like, it's not really a big deal. Like, it's not, you know, high on my list, and so it's important to be aware of, like, how things are different in those different mediums.
Yeah. I've sexted a lot about fluid bonding, and, like, nah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, thank you.
That is, like, one of the great things about sexting, is that you can kind of enjoy, like, the psychological benefits of a thing that in real life, physically and logistically, would just be untenable for a lot of reasons. Like, even, like, my chronic pain stuff, like, there are certain positions I can't be in, but I really enjoy talking about them in sexting, because, like, then I get to experience, like, you know, the mental joy of doing that thing that I can't actually physically do.
Yeah.
And yeah, talking about someone coming in you is very good, even if in real life I'm like, oh god, but I'm gonna get pregnant. No. No, like, babies, no thank you. I'm not ready. It isn't the time.
I have an IUD and so much testosterone in my body, and I'm still like, no babies! No.
When I was in high school, this artist friend of mine made me a shirt that has on it, like, a uterus and fallopian tubes and ovaries, and it says something like, no babies in here. And it was, like, some inside joke, and I don't remember the inside joke now, so I just have this shirt that says that. I should wear it more.
I had a shirt that was an inside joke with my, not even really an inside joke, but I had matching shirts with a bunch of my friends in high school that said, I heard hot dads.
It's time to bring that back, friend.
Right? I stand by it. I don't know where it went.
Hot dads are trendy. I liked hot dads before it was cool. I just want to say that. Okay, a few more. A serious question, though.
We don't do those on this show.
I'm curious about safety precautions about sexting.
I'm not the person to talk to.
Yeah, digitally, we won't have a ton of advice on this because we're just like, that's not really our jam. But I will link in the show notes, there's a book by Violet Blue, which is about sort of like digital security and like specifically around sexy stuff. And she is a genius about this stuff because she's an actual like tech reporter in addition to writing about sex. So I will link that and you should definitely check that out.
Yeah, my phone is just, it's just full of nudes.
But okay, I'm curious also about the emotional safety piece. Do you do aftercare when you sext?
Depends on what we were doing. Like, if I'm doing something that's, like, a little edgy for me or that is, like, a focused scene or something, I'll generally, like, want to check in the next day or something, or just, like, kind of, I don't necessarily do something that is, like, sit down, this is aftercare. Mm-hmm. But, like, I do like to have a little bit of conversation after we're done sexting.
Yeah.
Don't
just, like, disappear or go into the subway or something.
Yeah, or even just, like, well, going to bed.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'll be like, well, okay, bye.
Yeah.
or, like, chatting about it the next day or something. One thing is, like, if I'm sexting someone, don't, like, wait forever to have a regular conversation with them again. Like, don't just fall off the grid and wait days, because, like, that will stress me the fuck out.
Yeah, you can send a text as simple as, that was really fun last night.
Yeah.
And have a little conversation after that. Yeah, it's like the equivalent of, like, when you fuck someone and then you never hear from them again. Like, it's just, like, it doesn't feel great for most people. That's not what most people are looking for, I think, so, yeah.
Yeah.
I do like to do a little aftercare for sexting. I used to not do it because I thought I was fine, and then I would find that I was just, like, really sad and sort of felt empty afterward, and it's one of those weird things where, like, even as a sex educator, I'm like, why do I feel so awful? What is wrong with me? And it's like, it's sub-drop, like, obviously. So often, like, especially, like, in DS stuff, like, you might have been saying shit that was, like, kind of mean or, like, kind of, like, painful or rough or whatever, and it can be nice to just sort of, like, reconvene after that and be like, hey, I actually really still like you, and, you know, you're smart and pretty and great or whatever, and talk about that. And, like, I often like to do a debrief the next day if it's someone I feel comfortable with, and, like, what did you like about it, and, like, what was really hot to you about it, and what would be different for next time. On the topic of emotional care during sexting, I know we said this the last time we talked about sexting, but, like, I just want to emphasize, like, it is really weird if you disappear in the middle of a sexting conversation and you haven't previously told the person that that might happen. So, like, if I'm sexting someone and I'm about to get in the subway, or I'm about to, like, walk into a meeting or something, I always tell them that, because it's really shitty to, like, send someone something really, like, sexually vulnerable and then have them just disappear. Like, because you have no idea where they are or what they're doing, and that's horrifying.
Yeah, I really enjoy sexting on apps that have read receipts, because I will stress out, but if I can look at it and be like, oh, they haven't read it yet, then, like, I'm like, oh, it's fine, they're doing a thing, whatever.
See, to me, if they haven't read it for a while, I'm like, what are they doing? Why haven't they read it? Like, I feel really anxious about that also, so it doesn't really make a big difference for me, which is why I'm saying, like, tell the person if you're in a situation where you might have to suddenly vanish. And if you do, and you didn't forewarn them, like, it's nice to apologize for that and to explain yourself and to, like, reassert you're into them, because they might be feeling kind of vulnerable.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, what's stressful is, like, are they ignoring me or have they not looked at it yet? What's going on? So being able to be like, oh, they haven't looked at it yet. Or even being able to be like, oh, they're ignoring me. Well, fuck them then. And then I can also, like, be cool. Right. It's just the not knowing that really gets to me.
Mm-hmm. It's so interesting how, like, the evolution of technology, like, we have, like, the read receipts and then we have the typing indicators, and both of those are so useful in sort of the cadence of sexting. Like, I'm very subby, so I don't type shit when someone else's typing indicator is up, because I'm like, oh, I'm gonna let you finish, I'm not gonna interrupt you. Like, whereas, like, there's a meme that went around about, like, when two bottoms are sexting each other, like, both of their typing indicators come up, and then both of them will stop typing because they're waiting for the other person to finish. It's very true.
Yep, relatable.
But it is really useful in the rhythm of things, because there are times when maybe someone is sending you several texts in a row describing things that they're doing, and you want to know when they're done. You don't want to, like, jump in the middle of that.
Yeah.
Okay, so people worry a lot about this. What do you say when you don't know what to say?
So I wrote a piece on my site, bextalksex.com, where I listed some prompts for things to consider when you're looking for ideas on what to say. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to read through those, because past me thought about this.
And I'll link to it in the show notes if anybody would like to see some more details on these.
Awesome. Yeah, it's super long. But some of the prompts are, you can talk about what's currently happening, consider what you're doing, seeing, feeling, talk about what has happened already, talk about what will happen in the future. What do you think it would be like to, or last night I had a dream where, I watched some porn the other day and it made me want to, I can't stop thinking about, I want to blank your blank, or I love something.
Right.
And then once you kind of get an idea on what it is you're wanting to say, like what you're wanting to communicate, you can kind of flesh that out by considering, like, your five senses, and, like, so how would you feel in the moment, both physically and emotionally? Like, what feelings are in your body? How will the sex you're having look? How will it taste, smell, sound? What are you going to be thinking about while you play? So including details can kind of bring them more into the moment, rather than just being like, I want to suck your cock.
Like, yeah, it's usually better to sort of, like, actually imagine yourself in the situation you're describing, instead of sort of thinking, like, what does this person want to hear next? Or, like, what would sound cool to say next? Like, you want to get immersed in it, if possible. I also think, like, a lot of people seem to think that sexting has to be sort of, like, present tense, like, almost like cyber sex sort of conventions, like, writing, and then I do this, blah, 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 which is, like, for most people, really kind of awkward and not natural. I would say, like, a lot of my sexting is, like, if I was there, I would do this, or, like, remember that time when I did this, or next time I see you, I want to do this, and those are all kind of, like, more natural ways to approach it.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to necessarily be a story. Like, you can build a roleplay together, which I've done and which is super fun, but it can also just be a series of, like, different thoughts that you're having together with your partner.
Yes, and on the topic of roleplay, it is a great medium for exploring roleplay, especially if that's something you're new to and kind of uncomfortable with, because you have the time and the space to think about what you want to say, and it's definitely easier for some people than sort of, like, improvising in real time like you would do in a lot of role plays.
Yeah.
I also think it can be good from a consent perspective, but also from just, like, a creativity perspective, to ask the person to choose between a couple different things. Like, I know you've mentioned this before, where you'll, like, write a paragraph and be like, I could, like, suck your cock, or I could, like, fuck you in the ass, or I could sit on your face, and then kind of, like, see what they latch onto or what they decide they're in the mood for in that moment, and then go down that path, like a choose your own adventure. That's a really good way to sort of, like, get a read on how they're feeling about stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, one more question. I was curious about this. Our friend Suze is doing professional sexting now, which is, I guess, a growing industry. There's a website called Sext Panther where you can sext for money, which makes sense because, like, phone sex has been a monetized industry for a long time and makes total sense. Is that something that you ever would have an interest in doing? Because, like, you're very good at sexting. You could go professional with it, but I don't know if you would care to.
I would. Sext Panther is only for women, so...
Oh, weird. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yikes. I wonder if there's other services like that that are not so gendery.
Yeah, I don't know. I definitely would. And I enjoy it, and it's something that is fun for me, whether or not I'm attracted... Well, that's a lie. It's fun for me if I'm getting paid or attracted to the person. But doing it for money is really fun for me in a different way, because it's kind of like a puzzle.
Yes.
And I get to, like, oh, what will really turn this person on? What would be really fun? And I get to kind of create this narrative as a gift for someone, which is exhausting, and, like, there's no reason for me to be doing it if I'm not invested in the person or getting paid.
Right.
But in an opportunity where I'm getting paid and it's worth my time, it is really fun. Like, it's a fun thing to get paid for.
Yeah, this is what always mystifies me about these dudes in my DMs who want to sext with me for free, but I don't know anything about them. So I guess that there's something that they're getting out of the act of sexting itself that is enjoyable, but that's really not what I get out of it. Like, even if I was doing it paid with strangers, the thing that I would enjoy about it is the puzzle thing that you just said about sort of, like, reading them and figuring out what they want. And there's no reason I would be motivated to do that unless, like you said, I was very attracted to them or getting paid. So I would like to do it. I have a really hard time getting dudes in my DMs to pay for it ever, because I think they think that I should do it for free, but I'm like, why the fuck would I do that?
Like, I have so many people in my life that I could sext.
Yeah, like, I'm good, but, like... Yeah, I think that I would really enjoy it, and I think that I would like it better than camming, which I've also done, because I get really anxious about camming, and I sort of clam up, and I'm like, oh god, am I saying the shit that this person wants to hear? Which is why, like, when I was doing camming, I would usually ask the person beforehand, like, any fantasies you want to talk about or anything you particularly want to see, because then I would have a sense of, like, what they were hoping to get out of it. And it bugged me so much when people were like, nah, whatever. I'm like, that's not really your answer, though. Like, surely you have tastes of some kind.
Yeah, you have. I know you have opinions. I also love sexting because I can do it in, like, my Mickey Mouse pajama pants, and I can't do that on cam. I mean, I could. Someone would be into it, but...
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing, too, about, like, camming clients, is I know that they probably want me in, like, full makeup or whatever. Like, I feel a pressure to do that. But, like, also, they rarely will say that. It's just sort of, like, this unspoken expectation. And it's frustrating. Yeah, I really like anything I can do, you know, naked in bed with no makeup on and sweaty with a fan aimed at me and listening to a D&D podcast or something.
Bowl of ice cream in my lap.
This is goals.
Like,
this
yeah, I totally want your cock in my mouth right now. Absolutely, yeah. Sure, come down my throat, whatever.
I love watching what sexting has done to the, like, predictive text function in my phone.
Oh my God.
It makes me laugh so much. Because if I type the phrase, thank you, my phone's always like, the next word is daddy, right? And I'm like, I'm talking to my boss, so no.
Yeah, my phone finally, like, recently stopped suggesting daddy for things. I was like, oh, you understand my life.
Yeah, it's very weird, but I appreciate it. Technology. Okay, one last question, though. We talked about this last time. I'm curious if your answer has changed. Best emojis for sexting?
I was gonna look at my recent emojis, but I haven't sexted anyone in a while. I use the peach emoji all the time.
Okay, it's a good one.
Like, I don't know that I use many others. Like, sometimes I'll do, like, creative combinations of, like, hand job or, like, blow job or whatever. But I don't use emojis that often.
The ones that I use a lot, there's the one that's sort of like a smiling, blushing face that I totally think of as the happy submissive emoji.
I use that emoji just for life. Just that is my smiling emoji, because that's how I smile all the time.
I mean, fair. Yeah. I've noticed it can be kind of a lexical cue with certain partners who know this about me that, like, I'm feeling subby, because if I was feeling more normal, I would use, like, the regular, like, smiling emoji, but then there's this one that's sort of, like, blushing and, like, subbier looking. I also really like heart eyes emoji. I mean, clearly it's great. It's useful in a broad range of situations. And then there's the one that's kind of, like, blushing with its eyes open really wide that I end up using a lot, for when, that's especially when people say something that, like, really turns me on, like, in public or something. And then, of course, there's, like, the droplets of water.
Yeah.
Like, you know, sudden rush of wetness. No better emoji than that. Or the cat exploding. There's not a cat exploding emoji. There's a cat emoji and then, like, an explosion emoji. And that's very good.
I'm looking at my recent emojis in, like, hopes that, like, I would find sexy things. And I don't know, like, I haven't sexed anyone. My most recent emoji is just the eye emoji all the time, because I use it for everything. And I had some things to side-eye recently, so. It's that, the sparkle heart, and the burger are apparently my three most recent ones. The burger was not on purpose. I don't know where it came from.
Oh, I forgot one. The angel emoji is really, really good. I think especially if you're submissive and, like, more on the good side of the submissive spectrum versus bratty. I often will kind of use it slightly cheekily. And it's very good. I went on a date with someone one time and I asked him a question, which was for me at the time a pretty standard question that I would ask a lot of Tinder dates, which is, like, what are your favorite and least favorite emojis? And in least favorite, he said the angel one, but he was a really kinky dom. And I was like, okay, let me make a case for the angel emoji. Like, I've been really good and deserve treats, angel emoji. Or, like, maybe if I'm bad, you'll punish me, angel emoji. Like, it's just, there's so many good uses for
it. How did I not know this? There is a dog bone emoji.
What? Is that new?
I don't know.
That's important for your life.
How did I not know this?
Okay, before we start doing a whole other episode about emojis, I think we should say goodnight here.
I mean, I guess. I'm learning so many new things.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining
us. There's a peacock! Episode. Sorry. I'm putting it down.
Is that your favorite new water sports emoji? Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Dildorks. hope you learn some new tricks and can send some sexy sex this weekend. Or this week, or whenever. Sexting is... There's no time constraints on sexting.
That's what makes it so great.
Yes. I have been Kate Sloan. You can find my sex blog at girlyjuice.net and the rest of my writing at katewritesaboutsex.com. You can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram at girly_juice. Where is your stuff?
I'm Bex. You can find all my writing at bextalksex.com, and I'm on Twitter and Instagram at bextalksex. If you want to find that sexting article I was talking about earlier, it's at bextalksex.com/sexting. You can also find the link in our show notes. Together with the Dildorks, you can find us at The Dildorks on Twitter and Instagram, or at thedildorks.com. You can also find us by searching The Dildorks in your favorite podcast app. While you're there, rate and review us. It makes it easier for other sex nerds to find us and tell us how great we are. And if you want to support us, you can go to patreon.com/thedildorks give us money. Do that. The end.
Thanks for the money. Thank you. Thank you to Protodome, who wrote the song I Want You in My Bedroom, which is our theme song. God, I love it so much. His music is at protodome.bandcamp.com. And thank you to Amy, who did our logo. She is at starboots_ on Twitter. And thank you to you for listening. Until next time, folks, get out there and live your sexy, dorky life.
Bye.
I know, I love it. Morning.
Sorry, had feelings for a second. That was rude.
You don't need to apologize when you have feelings, friend. Do you know who you're talking to?
I do. But you can just edit out the feelings.
Because I always do, yeah. Yeah. I know that you don't want to reveal your inner self on the airwaves.
You can totally leave this in as a blooper, like, out of context from where I had the feeling.
Okay. You're always thinking ahead. I love it.
But I said it and I was like, I have no more words. Now that's all I'm thinking about.
Great. Yeah, that's how feelings work sometimes. Yeah. It's rough. Yeah?
I was going to say pause when you're done so that we can edit this out. But my boss just sent me a text with an article about Paul McCartney and John Lennon masturbating together.
I saw that. It was so wild. You should read it. I had a good laugh about it.
I figured this was the kind of thing that you'd want to hear about.
It's so funny because they have quotes and I was just reading them in my head in Paul McCartney's voice and it was the funniest shit.
But yeah, I was like putting my phone down so I wouldn't be looking at it, and I just had a text from my boss, and I was like, oh, maybe it's important. It's not important.
He refers to masturbating as thrashing. It's so funny. You make the cutest faces. I'm drinking this giant beer and just getting progressively tipsier and just like, oh my god, you're so cute and smart.
It really is. It's huge.
It's so big.
It's so big. I have really, come to own my awkward giggling, too, after, having two toppy humans fawn over how adorable it is, my awkward giggliness this weekend.
Mm-hmm. That so, is like, good. I have I'm also found there's, it. A lot of doms who are really into that, and that surprised me when I started dating more kinky people, and it's made me do it a lot more, which is good.
Yeah.
I remember I asked you once, I think I was getting high on my way to a date in New York or something. I don't even remember why I asked you this, but I was like, am I gonna seem cuter to this person if I am high? And you were like, well, the type of person you date typically likes you gigglier, so yes. And I was like, true.
Yep, I know what you're like. What was the question? What do I wish more about sexting?
Yeah.
When
you do it, it's called bexting.
Fuck.
You okay?
No, I made out with too many people.
Oh no.
And I smoke too much weed, and all of this is just a problem.
Bad for the lung region.
Okay, I'm just taking it from the top. I'm bad. It hurts so bad. Okay.
I'm Bex.
Yes, I am. You're not.